Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is your wake-up call. The show is Wake-Up Call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 14th of December, 2017. The title of this particular show is The Fire, The Lions, and the Reign, R-E-I-G-N, like the reign of a king, not rain from heaven, okay? We're in the book of Daniel and Revelations, so let's get started because I want to take my time with this one. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. They're talking in chapter 2 about the reign of kings and etc., etc., etc. Verse 44. And in the days of these sovereigns, the Elah of the heavens, that would be the like Elohim, the God of the heavens, speaking of Yahweh, shall set up a reign, R-E-I-G-N, which shall never be destroyed, nor the rain pass on to other people. It crushes and puts an end to all these rains, and it shall stand forever. This is describing governments being crushed, mighty people. I think it pertains also to today, when we, true Israel, are being persecuted all over the world, and there are governments that are coming against us and that will in the future come against us. But let's go to chapter 7 of Daniel. Verse 14, okay? Let me turn another page there. And to him was given rulership and preciousness and a reign, him being capitalized, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His rule is an everlasting rule which shall not pass away, and his reign that which shall not be destroyed. This is a vision of Daniel. Okay, he saw this and he's describing something. Let's go to the book of Revelations, chapter 11. I have to turn all the way back there, so give me a second. I'm reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. This is my favorite reading Bible. I'm going to get a new one that's updated, but I haven't got it yet. But this, it's very similar. Revelations 11, verse 15. I'm going to skip some of it. The reign of this world has become of our master. That's Yahweh. And of his Messiah. That's Yahshua. And he shall reign forever and ever. All right. And during this reign, it says in verse 18, to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the set apart ones, that is the remnant, and to those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Who's destroying the earth? Okay. Now, this is not all of mankind. This is only those that are going to be obedient. So let's go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, pardon me. Now, let's go back to chapter 3. That's my mistake here. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the sovereign made an image of gold. Okay, and it goes on to describe this image. And basically he said, everybody's going to have to worship this. That as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of instruments, you shall fall down and do obeisance to the gold image that Sovereign Nebuchadnezzar has set up. I may periodically have to stop and cough. I don't know why I've got a cough tonight, but I do. Verse 6, and whosoever does not fall down and do obeisance is immediately thrown into the midst of a burning furnace of fire. Well, they had snitches. And there are people of the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, that came forward and accused a couple of the Ya'udim, that's the men of Ya'uda, better known as Judah, if you have to use a J, okay. Ya'uda means he who praises Yah, and Ya'udim, that's plural, means those who praise Yah. And they accused him. Verse 12 of chapter 3. There are certain Ya'udim whom you have set over the work of the province of Babel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O sovereigns, pay no heed to you. In other words, they're not listening to you. They do not serve your Elohim, that's your little G God, and they are not doing obeisance to the gold image which you have set up. Well, that made old Nebuchadnezzar angry. And he had them brought before him and said, if you don't fall down when you hear all these musical instruments, you'll be thrown in the midst of a burning furnace of fire. And he asked them this question in verse 15. the last part of the verse. And who is the Elah who does deliver you from my hands? He's saying little g God, because he wasn't a Yahweh worshiper. But he's going to get a real surprise. Verse 16, they said to him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Verse 17, for if so, our Elah, capital E, this is in a different language, okay? This is not Hebrew here. So they're not saying Elohim. It's Elah here. It's equivalent to, okay? Our Elah, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace of fire and from your hand, O sovereign. He does deliver. Okay? No doubt. They had no doubt in their mind. Verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O sovereign, that we do not serve your Elohim, your little g God, nor do we do obeisance to the gold image which you have set up. Well, old Nebuchadnezzar gets really angry, and he says heat that furnace seven times more than its usual. And take these men and throw them in the burning furnace of fire. So they were bound in their coats, their trousers, and their turbans, and their other garments, and were thrown in the midst of the burning furnace of fire. And because the fire was so hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took them up and threw them in the furnace of fire. And they fell down bound into the midst of the burning furnace of fire. And in verse 24, old Nebuchadnezzar says to one of his counselors, did we not throw three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered him and said, certainly, O sovereign. Verse 25, he answered and said, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the son of Elah, capital E. Now that word is Bar Elohim, that son of Elah, son of the divine being, Bar Elohim. Well, he walked over to the furnace and says, come out of there. And they came out from the midst of the fire. And everybody was amazed, the body of whom the fire had no power, and the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments changed, nor did the smell of fire come on them. Now, back to verse 25 when they're talking about Bar Elohim. Remember the book of Job where it says the sons of Elohim came before him? That's a title that they use for the divine messengers. Now they call them angels, but they're messengers. Verse 28 of Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the Elah of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his messenger and delivered his servants who trusted in him and changed the sovereign's order and gave up their bodies that they should not serve nor do obeisance to any Elah except their own Elah." And he made a decree right after that that anybody that spoke against the Allah of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to cut off his arms and legs and his house made a dunghill, because there is no other Allah who is able to deliver like this. That's the fire. We're going through the fire right now. We are being tested daily in the fire of this world, which seeks to break our faith. We have to have the intestinal fortitude of these men and not let them break our faith. Can't do that. Can't let the evil ones out here today break our faith. Oh, they're trying. They're trying us by fire. They're using finances and medicines and chemtrails and all these methods that they are trying to break our faith. Book of Revelations, chapter 13. Verse 16 and 17. This is what they're doing. "And he causes all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or upon their foreheads." Verse 17. "And that no one should be able to buy or sell, except that he has a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." My. How they're going to test Yahweh's people. Amazing. Verse 11 of chapter 12. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb," that's Yeshua's sacrifice, "and because of the word of their witness, and they did not love their lives to the death." In other words, they are willing to face death, as those men in the book of Daniel were willing to face death because of their faith in Yahweh. Now, they're not using the name Yahweh in here because it is in a different language. Okay? That's what's going on there. So they faced all that fire and overcame it because the messenger protected him. Or them, pardon me. Revelation 20, verse 4. I'm going to read part of it. And the word of Elohim, and who did not worship the beast nor his image, just like in Daniel, and did not receive his mark on their forehead, they had the mark of Yahweh, or upon their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. Now here's the ones that don't have the mark. They don't want anything to do with it. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelations, 6, 7, and 8. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts," that's thirst for the word of Yahweh, "I shall give of the fountain of the water of life without payment." Verse 7, "The one who overcomes," that's Israel, "he who overcomes as an El, shall inherit all this, and I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son." This is Yahweh speaking. Now, these are the people that are going to get the axe. They're going to get zapped. Verse 8, "But as for the cowardly," those who won't stand up for Yahweh and his son Yeshua, the ones that cow down to the system, "and untrustworthy," those who are phony and lie, "and abominable," those who do all this child pornography and child sacrifice and pedophilia, "and the murderers," those who kill us all the day long, killers of the Israelite people, "and those who whore," all these sexual perverts, "and drug sorcerers," those who enchant people with drugs, pharmakia, "and idolaters," those who bow down and worship before idols today, no matter what kind of idols, whether it's in a Catholic church or it's a football player, "and all the false," in other words, the phonies, that say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but they're not. "Their part is in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is a second death." That's what's common to them. So we've got the fire. We're describing the rain. Now let's go to the lions. Oh, the lions. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. There's a new king in Babel. Dariush. And he issued an edict that said anybody that prays to any other god is going to get thrown into a den of lions. Well, Daniel prayed 3 times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elah as he had done before. And Daniel knew of this edict. That's verse 10 of chapter 6. And they told on him. And said, "Daniel, who is one of the sons of the exile from Yehuda, pays no heed to you, O sovereign, nor to the interdict that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Now he's playing three times a day. Now, Dariush was upset because he really liked Daniel. He was displeased with himself, but he had signed this edict. And he was bound by it. And it says in verse 14, he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. In other words, then the others that hated Yahweh, in verse 15, gathered together. No, sovereign, it's the law of the Medes and Persians that any interdict or decree which the sovereign established is not to be changed. Well, in verse 16 of chapter 6 of Daniel, the sovereign gave orders and they brought Daniel and threw him into the den of lions. But listen to this. But the sovereign spoke and said to Daniel, your Elah, whom you serve continually, he himself delivers you. So they brought a great big stone and set it over the mouth of the lion's den. And old Daniel was in there with the kitty cats. And the next day, the king had spent the night fasting. And he couldn't sleep. And he went running over to the den of lions the next day. And he says, Daniel, servant of the living Elah, has your Elah, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Check this out. Verse 21 of chapter 6. Then Daniel said to the sovereign, O sovereign, live forever. That's a greeting that you used to give to the king, you know. Verse 22. My Elah, that's Yahweh, has sent his messenger and has shut the lion's mouths. And they did not harm me because I was found innocent before him, capital H, him. And also before you, O sovereign, I have done no harm. And the sovereign was very glad and gave orders that Daniel be taken up out of the den. And Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because he trusted in his Allah. He trusted in Yahweh. As we Israelites must trust in Yahweh today. Listen to this. Verse 24, chapter 6. And the sovereign gave orders, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they threw them, their children, and their wives into the den of lions. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they reached the floor of the den. Verse 25. Then sovereign Dariush wrote to all people, nations, and languages, because he ruled pretty much the known world at that time, that dwell in all the earth. Peace be increased to you. Verse 26. From before me is made a decree that throughout every rule of my reign, men are to tremble and fear before the Allah of Daniel, for he is the living Allah and steadfast forever. Now remember when I read all about the rain is not destroyed and will last forever? Last part of that verse. And his reign is one which is not destroyed, and his rule is unto the end. We're not at the end yet, folks. Working on it, but... Verse 27, listen to this if you have started to lose faith. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, for he has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, and this Daniel prospered in the reign of Dariush and in the reign of Koresh the Persian. Then it goes back in verse 7, back to Belshazzar, about dreams and all of that. Well, we've had the fire, we've had the rain, and then we've got the lions, and the rain is included in this last deal as well. You have to understand what's going to happen with all of this business that's going on today. We've seen all the destroyers of the earth mentioned in Revelations. Well, we see them in our world today, do we not? Chemtrails, genetically modified food, spraying, all these chemicals on food, poisoning us, poisoning the air, the water, and the soil, engineering genocide against our people. We're seeing these wicked ones. And we wonder what we're going to do. Well, maybe that we're going to have to do what we have to do. Maybe we have to wait for Yeshua to come back. But when he does come back, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. That's 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you time to go there. Chapter 1. And we'll begin at verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. Now, I read this one a lot, I will admit. I read this a lot because it pertains to so much. Those who afflict you. These are the perpetrators of all this evil that we're seeing today. The poisoners of the air, the water, and the soil, the murderers, the child molesters, the bribers of government officials, the officials that accept the bribes, the drug pushers, the whoremongers, the pedophiles, the fraudulent bankers, the conspirers to foment war and conflict, to kill off our people, I mean, the list of wrongs just goes on and on and on and on and on. We see it. We're not blind. Those of the remnant are not blind. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Okay, that's verse 7. Those of us who are afflicted, that's the remnant. We're going to have rest with the rest of the true believers of Israel. Because they're speaking to others of Israel in Thessalonica, we're going to have rest with the saints. Okay, let's put that word saints in there. People can identify with that. And I want to make this identifiable. I want people to understand this. I'm not going to get real picky about words and stuff like that. That's counterproductive. Here's verse 8. Here's a description of what's going to happen when these mighty messengers show up. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim, and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Okay. He brought a set of rules . He who calls upon the name of Yahweh will be saved, quote unquote, from destruction. Now that's for Israel. Okay? Because they're going to destroy, as it says in 8, all those that don't know Yahweh, our Elohim. Because he's speaking only to Israel here. He's not speaking to anybody else but Israel. Now this is a terrible thing in verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength? People that ignore his word and disobey and break all the rules of Yahweh, which still stand, except for the sacrificial rules which have been fulfilled, you're not going to be allowed to be with him, you who don't believe. You unbelievers, the lake of fire would be a relief to destroy you forever, because the agony of seeing the presence of the Master and knowing that you have fouled up so badly that you're never, ever going to be allowed to be with him, that would be a torment worse than a lake of fire. At least to me it would. That is unbelievably horrible to not be with Yeshua Messiah. I would rather not exist. Verse 10. When he comes to be esteemed, okay, esteemed, praised, loved, extolled, just, oh, yes, praise Yeshua, our Master. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, those that are set apart of Israel, deemed those that have been redeemed, those that have been called redeemed, deemed redeemed, esteemed in his set apart ones, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day. Because our witness to you was believed. Well, they were witnessing to the people of Thessalonica, and we are witnessing to the Israelites in dispersion. What more can I say? That is the most magnificent thing in my life, to be able to teach this word, that no matter what we face, fire, lions, doesn't matter, machine guns, tanks, drones, blah, 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 financial hardship, persecution, prison camps, you don't love your life unto the death. If you have to go down, you'll be back. But you don't lose that faith. It's tough, okay? But you will have rest with Yeshua if you stand up for the right. How many people have we seen that have been murdered by these horrible people for standing for the right? People that are truthers have been killed for standing up for the right because their faith is so strong. And that faith is what Yahweh will see, and he will see Yeshua's righteousness. Even if you have sinned in your life, and I don't know anybody that hasn't, he's not going to see your unrighteousness. He's going to see Yeshua's righteousness, because his blood has covered over your sins for all time if you are obeying, as it says in verse 8, those who do not obey, well, they're going to get the axe. And those who do obey and follow the teachings of our Messiah are going to be blessed so much. It's incredible. What's coming for those who believe and act on their belief? Don't just give it lip service. Really live it. Now, I do my very best. Do I still sin? Of course I do. I'm still in a flesh body, and I'm still subject to the temptations of the flesh. Now, I have to fight like crazy many, many times, and my worst enemy is me at this point. The one that gives me more trouble than anybody else is the guy in the mirror. What can I say? The earthly desires are going to be with me until I am transformed and given my eternal body, my new dwelling place. If I have not perished by that time, I will be transformed. If I have perished by that time, I will be resurrected into a new body that's perfect and will never degenerate. As we were before Adam and Hawa sinned in the Garden of Eden. We will go back to our original state. Sinless. No more temptation. That will be over. We will never have evil inclinations. Again, that's one of the major benefits. And I won't have to fight so hard because I'm a knothead. And I have bad thoughts, and thoughts are sin too. But more so if you act on them. And I get angry sometimes. And yes, I see the actions of these Antichrist people, and I get very, very angry. And think bad thoughts. I'd like to do things to them. But that passes. I don't actually go out and do it very hard sometimes because I see a lot of evil and I see a lot in the community in which I live. And you see it too, out amongst the world. Well, I'm stuck here for right now, but all of that's going to change when the new world and the new heaven and all that is coming with the Messiah. Things are gonna change. All we can do is hang on to them. We have to occupy until the end. Okay? Now, if he gives us a sign, I really don't know what's going to happen. But Yahshua said, mine would fight, and he also admonished us to sell our cloak and buy a sword. Doesn't want us to be unarmed, doesn't want us to lay down. If they come to do us in, we are expected to fight. We don't just lay down like the Judeo-Christian. Oh, go ahead. Nah. If they're going to get us, they're going to have to earn it. Christ was not a pacifist. He took that cat of nine tails and beat those money changers, drove them out of the prison. I mean, Yahweh's law is not done away with, and self-defense is part of that law, brothers and sisters. I'm not telling you to just lay down before these demons. No! We are his battle axe and weapons of war. We are to fight when the time comes. We're not supposed to initiate it. Just go off on a wild tangent. But there'll be a time in many people's lives when it's time to do battle. What can I say? The scripture is the scriptures. And the Israelite people have always been warrior people. We're not to be pacifists because Christ was not a pacifist. He didn't order us to just die. We are to defend ourselves. And others of our kind, if needs be, not just our personal self, but if we have a community and we are attacked, we are to defend. Defend the women and the children and the weak, the infirm. And call on the name of Yahweh while you're fighting. That's the deal. It's it's getting worse and worse, as we see out here. We see all of this stuff exploding. We don't know what Donald Trump's going to do at this point. He may do good, he may not do good. He may be honorable, he may be a traitor. He may be just another politician like all the rest of them and talk a lot. But we know the enemy is on the move. We see their movements. Trump says he's going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And they can move their their capital from Tel Aviv. To Jerusalem. That's going to anger, and we may see World War III erupt out of this with the Muslims and others. And we don't know what's going on behind the scenes because they keep everything secret. Well, they can have their secrets. That's all well and good. But Yahweh doesn't tell us when he's sending Yeshua back either. And that's something they're not counting on because they don't believe. Oh, no. Well, they, meaning the enemy, might get a very, very, very unpleasant surprise. So right now, we've got the fire, the lions, and the rain that's coming. We're going to have to overcome the fire. We're going to have to overcome the lions, the evil beasts. And then comes the glorious rain of our Master Yeshua. That's our reward when he returns. And we could jump for joy and sing praises. And it will be all over for the evil ones and their servants. Even if they're of Israel. We have exhorted to righteousness. We've told them and told them and told them. And if they choose the wrong side, it says in 2 Thessalonians, all those who do not know Elohim and obey the rules that Yeshua Messiah brought, they're toast. And they're not just going to have to deal with us, they're going to have to deal with divine beings, which are going to come back and they're going to battle the other fallen divine beings, and it's going to be a big conflict. And at that point, we will be transformed into our new divine bodies. And boy, oh boy, it'll be a hot time in the old town tonight, I guess. My website is https://www.pastor.steve.com. All my shows, Wake Up Call and Word for Word, are on there. It's not an interactive site. You can't post comments. It's listening and download. And I have links to a lot of other sites. So it's getting very, very close to the top of the hour. I will say Shalom Aleichem. That means peace be with you. To all my brothers and sisters out there, my pure white Israelite kinsmen. And I'll talk at you again next week and talk to you on my word-for-word shows. Praise Yahweh, and peace be with you.
Lift, lift, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4.